And Bill Withers perfectly captures the spirit of the passage we're going to look at this morning about bearing one another's burdens. So turn in your Bibles to Galatians chapter 6, verses 2 through 6. We're getting very close to wrapping up our series in Galatians. We'll finish right before Easter, just a couple more messages. We're here in chapter 6, verses 2 through 16. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he's something when he's nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one test his own work, and then his reason to boast will be in himself alone and not in his neighbor, for each will have to bear his own load. Let the one who is taught the word share all good things with the one who teaches. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that you've brought us here, and we know that even though many are missing because of the weather, we pray that you be with them and encourage them, and I pray that those who have come will receive many times over blessing from your word this morning. And I pray that as we consider this passage, that your Holy Spirit would work in us to convict and to encourage and transform and motivate us out of love, Lord, to bear one another's burdens together, to help us to carry the heavy loads of life in this fallen world, that we would truly lean on one another as brothers and sisters who are traveling home together. Father, we thank you for your Son who came into the world to take up our heaviest burden and carry it away. We're thankful for his light yoke and his easy burden that he gives to us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me read for you those lyrics just one more time from Lean on Me to remind you of them. Sometimes in our lives we all have pain. We all have sorrow. But if we're wise, we know that there's always tomorrow. And the chorus is, lean on me when you're not strong and I'll be your friend. I'll help you carry on, for it won't be long till I'm gonna need somebody to lean on. Please swallow your pride. If I have faith, you need to borrow, for no one can fill those of your needs that you won't let show. You just call on me, brother, when you need a hand. We all need somebody to lean on. I just might have a problem that you'll understand. We all need somebody to lean on. If there's a load you have to bear that you can't carry, I'm right up the road. I'll share your load. What a perfect description of what it means for us as Christians to bear one another's burdens. It means that you're willing to invite your brother or sister in Christ to lean on you when they're not strong, because we all sometimes have sorrows and heavy things that weigh on us. There's a couple points I want to make for you about burden bearing this morning. As you invite one another to lean on each other, things to keep in mind that Paul teaches us here in this passage. There's four of them that I want to briefly cover. The first is that burden bearing is our mutual responsibility. Burden bearing is our mutual responsibility. Paul says in an imperative mood in his verb there, he speaks in a commanding mode, not being harsh or mean or domineering, but instructing us and placing upon us this imperative, this responsibility that we bear one another's burdens. Last week, you'll remember, we looked at Galatians 6:1 and saw that we had a responsibility when people get stuck to lovingly confront them and compassionately help them, to do that from the place of a close walk of intimacy with Jesus, to do it with a spirit and attitude of gentleness, but also being careful to watch over yourself and to realize just how difficult it can be to help someone get unstuck. That was a specific example of bearing one another's burdens. And now Paul becomes more general. He says, just like that was one specific example, there's any number of ways that you might need to carry a load for your brother or sister, and that we ought to, that's very important and necessary for Christians. The word here for burden, now this is brilliant. This is really insightful. Write this down, okay? The word for burden here means something heavy to carry. And so the first thing we need to think about that Paul brings up is that burdens are real. Burdens are many. Burdens are varied. There's all kinds of burdens. But the thing about a burden is it's heavy. And it's almost never easy or convenient for you to offer to carry another person's burden. It will require sacrifice. It's selfless. But it ought to be done. And the burdens that we might face could be any number of things. It might be mental illness. It might be a mood disorder of depression or anxiety. It might be a physical ailment that one of us has. It might be a financial difficulty. It might be a relational issue. It might be in the form of grief. It might be a particular temptation that one of us struggles with and that we need help with. We're all given crosses that we bear in this life. And so we need to be prepared to help each other bear one another's burdens. And we need to affirm the fact that there are things in our lives that are heavy, that weigh on us, that feel like a burden. Martin Luther said that Christians need to have broad shoulders and husky bones. I qualify already for that. But spiritually, emotionally, mentally speaking, right, he's saying we need broad shoulders, husky bones as Christians so that we can carry each other's burdens and that we can invite people and say, lean on me. I want you to. You ought to. So burden bearing is our mutual responsibility. He says bear one another's burdens. So there's the what should we do? Bear burdens. Who should we do this to, or to whom should we do this? To one another. And this is where the mutual aspect comes in, the back and forth, the you and I, the reciprocity. This is where we ought to do this for one another. Because like Bill Withers says in the song, you know, sometimes you have something heavy to carry, but there might come a day when I need someone to lean on. And this, the church is this beautiful but broken place where we don't always live up to this, despite our best intentions and our best efforts. But God's provided the church as a great gift where we are called mutually for one another in a back and forth, not a one-way relationship, but a back and forth mutual relationship of carrying burdens, because one day you might have something heavy to carry and you'll need someone to be there for you. One day I might have something heavy to carry and I hope I can count on you. But it's mutual. And it ought not to be the case that we come to church and we drag in all of our baggage and our heavy crosses that we're bearing and we show up just to have others carry it for us, but not also be committed to carrying heavy things for other people. And when we're bearing burdens, we need to remember that we ought to first cast everything on the Lord. In Psalm 55:22, the psalmist says, cast your burdens on the Lord. The Hebrew word really implies roll it on to the Lord. Shift your burden on to the Lord, and He will sustain you. He will never let the righteous be moved. And then many of you probably know well 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6, that says, humble yourselves under God's mighty hand, because God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble, casting all of your cares upon the Lord, for He cares for you. And there's two beautiful words for cares there, because the one for cares is anxieties or mental, emotional, psychological burdens that we carry. It says, cast those on to Jesus. And the reason you ought to do that, the motivation you have, the confidence you have to do that, is because he is the one who is caring for you, not worried about you, but caring and providing for you, ordering things for your well-being, holding you up, taking care of you. Isn't that beautiful to think that we don't have to carry one another's burdens alone in our strength, but that God is there to help us to carry the burdens, that we can cast it all onto him. And the best thing that we can do for one another first, after saying, hey, lean on me, let me help you carry this heavy thing, is to take one another to Jesus, who can carry everything for us. Remember the story of the four friends that carry their friend on a stretcher to Jesus? The guy couldn't walk, he couldn't get there on his own. And he had friends that cared enough to set aside their own time, to devote their own energy, and maybe even to give up some of their self-respect and dignity by carrying their sick friend on a mat through town. And then when they couldn't get in the house, they didn't stop, but they continued digging till they got their friend to Jesus for healing. And they lowered him down through the roof. Now talk about injuring your pride. Imagine being unable to walk. You're so sick. And you have to have four other people carry you and dig through a roof in a room full of people and have you lowered down in front of Jesus, interrupting the great teacher just so that your problems could be dealt with. And you couldn't even come in on your own 2 feet under your own strength. Sometimes we have to carry one another to Jesus. And if we love one another, we will bear one another's burdens. It's our mutual responsibility. And then second, burden-bearing dispels the myth of self-sufficiency. Burden-bearing dispels the myth of self-sufficiency. There's a lot of reasons why we believe this myth and live by it. Some can be pride, some can be fear. Or it could just be that we've been told that this is what a healthy, strong person is. Don't ever depend on someone else because they'll let you down. Be strong and self-reliant because that's the American spirit. But what we have to do as Christians is we have to live by a different code. We have to set aside that self-reliant, self-sufficient mindset that believes not only I can do it by myself, but I must do it by myself. I don't know how hard it is for you to ask for help, but Jesus would want you to. And there are times when you will need to do that, and that is not immaturity. In fact, maturity can be defined as being willing to ask for help when it's needed. We are not called to be self-sufficient. We are called through friendships in the body to help one another. John Stott said that human friendship in which we bear one another's burdens is part of the purpose of God for his people. So we should not keep our burdens to ourselves, but rather seek a Christian friend who will help to bear them with us. There's a little hymn that children often sing, but the words are pretty profound. It goes like this: brother, sister, let me serve you. Let me be as Christ to you. Pray that I may have the grace to let you be my servant too. We're pilgrims on a journey, companions on the road. We're here to help each other walk the mile and bear the load. You know, it's easy sometimes to be the one who's always helping, and our identity and self-worth can sometimes hang on that we're always the one being Christ to others. We're always the one being the servant, that we pride ourselves on always being in the strong position of being the provider, the one that you can always lean on. But we also have to admit that we need to be served at times as well, that we need to receive as well as to give. And it is not weakness, again, or immaturity to allow yourself to be helped and served. But it's the pathway to growth to health, to joy, and to deeper friendships as you begin to trust other people rather than distrust them, where you begin to depend upon them in a healthy way. Bearing burdens dispels this myth of self-sufficiency. We need each other in the body of Christ. You can't do it alone. You don't need to do it alone. The third point is that burden-bearing is a labor of love. Paul says, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. This phrase is really interesting here, law of Christ. It's the only time that Paul uses this phrase, except possibly one other place in the second letter to the Corinthians. The law of Christ. Now let's review the book of Galatians just real quickly. You remember why Paul wrote was because he felt that the true gospel was being threatened by some false teachers who were insisting that the law of Moses be kept in addition to believing in Jesus Christ as the Messiah. That we were saved not just by faith, but we were also saved by works. And Paul spends most of the letter, if you'll remember, really going hard against legalism or works righteousness. And it almost seems as if he's against the law, but he's not. What he's against is trying to be saved through the law. And he wants us to know that there are certain ceremonies in the law of Moses that because Jesus has come, they're no longer valid and they've been fulfilled and served their purpose, and we're not obligated to keep them, like circumcision. But you see here by Paul telling us on the other side of the book of Galatians, after convincing us of this truth of justification, that you are made righteous before God, declared to be righteous, rather, before God, simply through faith in Jesus, with the righteousness of Jesus being credited to you and your sins being forgiven. And it's all free. It's a gift. After hammering home that point, now he's teaching us how we ought to live in light of that, and he begins to talk to us about how we ought to fulfill the law of Christ. What does he mean? Is he now telling us to switch back into this mode of keeping the law and relating to God? No. Remember, he brought us through all of chapter 5, in which he talked about how we have to walk by the Spirit, we have to live by the Spirit, we need to keep in step with the Spirit, that Christian character is grown out of the Spirit's presence in our life. It's like fruit growing on a vine or on a tree or a bush. It's the produce of the Holy Spirit's work in us. And that out of that new character that the Spirit's developing, our lives and our conduct and our actions, our behavior is shaped and directed. But he still says that the law is good and important and instructive for us. And he sums it up here as the law of Christ. And what that means is the teachings of Jesus and the example of Jesus as he interprets the purpose of God's law and its content. And Jesus really went to the heart of the issue when he said, the law really is about love. Even if you obey and keep the commandments, but you're not doing it out of love for God and love for your neighbor, you're not really keeping the law. And what the work of Christ does for us and the work of his Spirit is it enables us with power now to live a life of love, to go beyond just this fearful obedience to commands of do's and don'ts into a life of honest, genuine love for God and love for others. And so Paul is saying, don't focus on the law of Moses and all the ceremonies and rules and obligations, but the moral law of God that can be summarized by love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. Fulfill that law and live the way that Jesus lived and live out what Jesus taught. And so bearing one another's burdens is the pathway to fulfilling a life of love. And that when we bear one another's burdens, it ought to be a labor of love. We ought to see a brother or sister struggling under the weight of a burden and be moved with compassion and love to come and help them. Bearing one another's burdens, it's a labor of love. And when we do that, when we help carry heavy things for each other, we're not only obeying a command, Paul says we're fulfilling. And the word, again, underneath that in the original language is a really rich word that just means to fill up to overflowing. So that we're going beyond just this mere slavish list of rules we're trying to check off, but we're being moved by love under the direction of God's Spirit to carry people's heavy things, to be with them in their sufferings, to show compassion and sympathy when they're hurting, and to provide practical help. It's not just to pat them on the back and say, hey, I know you're having a tough time, I'm praying for you, but where we can, where we're able, to actually do something to lighten the load for each other. That's the kind of community and fellowship that we ought to aim for in the church. And you know, we don't always hit the mark, and it's difficult. Why? Because you and I, remember, you and I are justified sinners. We don't enter the church and overnight become these perfect people. And we can come to the church with this utopian expectation that is simply cruel to place on each other. Because you and I are fallen and imperfect, and beyond that, we are even infected with the stain of sin. And sometimes, despite our best efforts, we fall short. There can be a mix-up in which we try to help, but we hurt. Or we're overcome with our own burdens, and we're not able to help. I once heard this story of a man who had a friend that had just expanded his business, and his sales had increased to the point that he needed a larger warehouse and a sales office were needed. And even though the move was pretty complicated and it was burdensome, it was a thing that they celebrated. And for that reason, the man sent his friend some flowers on the day of his grand opening. And the flowers, however, were poorly handled by the florist, and the businessman received a bouquet that was intended instead for a funeral. And it was accompanied with a card that said, "My deepest sympathy during this time of sorrow." When the man called his friend on the phone to wish him well, he was confronted with the error. "Why in the world," said the businessman, "did you send me these sympathy flowers?" So the man went immediately to the florist to demand an explanation, and the florist met him outside and was obviously upset, and he said, I'm terribly sorry about this mix-up with the flowers. He said, but I hope you won't be understanding, because your situation is not half as bad as the one down at the funeral home, because the folks there received your flowers accompanied by a card that said, "Best wishes in your new location." A silly little story to show just sometimes the wires get crossed and things don't go according to plan. There can be misunderstandings. And when we're hurting, we can hurt people. And we lack wisdom to know exactly what to do when someone's under a heavy burden. But there's still that responsibility there that ought to be motivated by love, that we mutually are committed to carry one another's burdens. And then finally, related to that, burden bearing is a test of our maturity. Burden bearing is a test of our maturity. The commentator Moises Silva said, "We ought to only look at the weaknesses of others for purposes of compassion, not of comparison." We ought to look at the heavy things people were carrying and struggling with for the purpose of compassion and bearing, not for comparison and boasting. He says in verse 3 through 4, really 3 through 5, a couple statements that might be easy to misunderstand or difficult to understand. Paul goes from saying, "Bear one another's burdens and fulfill the law of Christ," to saying, "For if anyone thinks he's something when he's nothing, he deceives himself." Well, what is he talking about? Well, he's talking about burden bearing, And he's talking about reasons why people might step back from burden bearing and helping brothers and sisters in Christ carry the heavy load. And he says that it can come from an attitude of superiority or a lack of love in which you look at another person and you say, hey, that's below me to mess with that. Or they made the bed they're sleeping in, so to speak, right? Let them carry their own mess and deal with it. But burden bearing is a test of maturity, Paul says. It's also a test of humility and of this Christ-like character that he describes in detail in this list of the fruit of the Spirit. Because he says, if anyone thinks he's something, in other words, puffed up and arrogant and conceited, and thinks that they're too good to carry heavy things and get their hands dirty, and yet they're nothing, then he deceives himself. And by deceive here, it means you have these fantasies of who you are and your self-importance. You know, in the ancient world, Roman soldiers hardly carried their own mess. They were allowed to find whatever peasant that was a non-Roman along the road and force them to carry their armor and their pack and their basic necessities. Jesus refers to this in Matthew 5 when he says, when somebody forces you to carry something a mile, carry it 2 miles. And so what Paul is saying here is, don't think that you're too good to carry someone else's load or even your own. That we ought to be humble enough to realize that we need to carry our own responsibilities in the church and that we ought to help one another carry those loads. The enemies that he's speaking against in Galatia, these false teachers that were teaching kind of a legalistic point of view, were probably people he's referencing here. The thing about legalism is that it does promote a sense of self-sufficiency. It promotes a sense of superiority, right? Because, you know, I'm able to do it. I kept the law, and you need to, and I can't do it for you. And all of this is just a result of you not being as good and as strong as I am. But when we're saved by grace, when we're completely dependent upon God for our salvation, what it tends to do is humble us to the point where we can look at other people and say, you know, I'm weak too. Or, except for the grace of God, this is what I would be wrestling with. You know, when Job suffered, and we may go through a whole series on Job this fall, I'm praying about that. When Job suffered the loss of his family, his wealth, his well-being, his reputation, everything, his friends come and they mourn with him for a while, but then they mess up royally by they begin to talk. And they begin to bring theology into it, and they keep making these arguments, you must have done something wrong, Job. And Job has to deal with this, just realizing that in God's mysterious plan, this heavy burden's been put on him. And what we ought to do is bear with one another in those times. But it's a test of maturity. Paul says, let each one test his own work. And then his reason to boast will be in himself and not in his neighbor. What is he saying there? He's saying, if someone has a conceited view that they shouldn't have to help with someone else because I was able to get my life together, then there's a major problem in attitude underneath. And what he ought to be able to boast in, what you ought to be able to say proudly is that you are willing to carry your own load, and that you're not boasting in the fact that you're stronger than. This is not a comparative thing. You're not looking at other people's weaknesses as something that puffs you up and makes you feel better about yourself. I've been in so many meetings with people that they're just under something so difficult that I do leave going, man, I feel so much better about my life right now. I don't have it half as hard as this person. They're really in a difficult place. But what we ought to never do is have that kind of view. We ought to be willing also to carry our own load, Paul says. Again, we don't want to show up to the church with our heavy baggage and lay it on the floor and say, hey, I heard y'all are a church and y'all carry stuff for people. And then you step back and you don't want to carry anybody else's load. Or even worse, to come to me and say, I heard you're the pastor, you're the guy who carries everybody's burdens around here. You'll destroy me if you do that. My role as a pastor is to equip the body, one another, right? Paul doesn't say, put all your burdens on the pastor. Yes, you can come to me with your burdens. I want to be able to carry burdens. It's one of the great privileges to be there under those weights and heavy things and difficult times and to walk with you through that. But I'm one person and I'm human and I can only carry so much. And so my job is to prepare the body to bear one another's burdens. It takes the whole body. I cannot be your personal priest, and I'm okay saying that. I can't be everyone's best buddy in the church. But what the church must do as a whole and as a body is to bear one another's burdens. And it's my job to teach us to the point where we do that. And may God give us the grace to do that. The last verse, and I'll wrap up. I'm not going to spend a lot of time. Verse 6 says, let the one who is taught the word share all good things with the one who teaches. And this is a difficult passage for a preacher to preach on, because what Paul is saying is, just as you should bear one another's burdens and provide for one another's needs, the one who teaches and the one who taught are taught, have a special bond, and they ought to share one with another. The teacher ought to share teaching and the word of God and the truth of God and the gospel, and those who are taught ought to share in return so that the needs of the teacher are provided. Share all good things with him. And I would take this opportunity as your pastor to say thank you, because this is not a message I even need to preach to this church, because they take such good care of me and my family, and our needs are so well met. But this idea of providing for ministers and those who set their lives apart to serving God full time, that is one of the specific ways, again, that we bear one another's burdens. Now, I'll close by reminding you of this. There's an old hymn, it's not a hymn really, it's a song that is called, He Ain't Heavy, He's My Brother, if you've ever heard that. And it's easy as we carry one another's burdens for us to start to get heavy. And your brother or sister can begin to be heavy. And it's easy for us to see that person coming and go, uh-oh, here comes heavy. You know? I'm just being real. Am I the only person who has these thoughts? Come on. I know it's snowing outside and you're ready to go, but come on, we can be heavy. You might see me coming. He goes, uh-oh, here comes Pastor Heavy. He needs to lose some weight and get off my back, right? You know, just he's heavy. But we need to, out of love, right? We need to ask the Holy Spirit to give us a way to view each other where we don't label each other as heavy or weak, but we say, you're not heavy, you are my brother. You're not heavy, you're my sister. And the only way that we can see that person not as a weight or a burden is to see them first as one for whom Christ died. Christ was so weak at one point that he could not carry his own cross. Is that encouraging to anybody in this room? When I've been in weak moments and I just think, man, I'd love to be strong, it helps me to remember that the Son of God was so weak under his sufferings and the cross he had to bear for our salvation that Simon the Cyrene, who was probably a big, you know, buff beefcake kind of guy, was grabbed out of the crowd and he had to carry the cross for our poor Savior. So first of all, Jesus bore the burden for this brother or sister that needs our help and our compassion. And secondly, it's easier to see them not as heavy or burdensome if we remember that they are our brother or our sister in Christ and we belong to one another, and that they will be there for us to help share the load. If everyone serves, everybody gets served. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the grace of the gospel a Savior who would come and bear our sins, the burden of the penalty and punishment for our sins, who would bear the wrath of God towards unrighteousness and carry it away, far away, so that we might be under your favor and acceptance. Father, we also thank you for the church, imperfect as it is and always will be until we are in glory. We are thankful that we have one another, that we can physically be present with each other, to be Christ to each other in times of need. I pray that your Holy Spirit would give us not only the power and the love, but the wisdom to be a burden-bearing church, that we would care for each other in that very specific and loving way, and that it would bring much glory to you. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's close our time together and stand and sing one more song of worship.